Well, we want to welcome you once again to the Word for Life radio broadcast. I am one of the co-hosts of the show, Sam Horn, and with me is the co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And Doc, it's always good to have you. We've been in a very interesting discussion on the topic of mentoring and discipleship. And the last time we were together, you took us to an Old Testament model out of 2 Kings. And maybe you can kind of just catch our listeners up if they're coming in for the first time as to what that model was.
Yeah, we found in 2 Kings chapter 4 that there were four elements to this drama that is unfolding. And we find the Shunammite woman and her husband entertained Elisha the prophet. The home was without child. God blessed that home with a child as Elisha prayed with them. But in process of time, the child died as he was out in the field working with dad. The child was carried and died in mom's arms.
Mm.
So we see a dead child.
Very tragic thing for the family.
Right. Traumatic because they anticipated so greatly that child. And then there was a desperate parent. She takes off looking for the man of God. I mean, in a desperate cry to find God's man because she believes he could have a solution to this problem.
Hmm.
And then we found her coming to the hill. She came to Mount Carmel where we found Elisha and Gehazi, the servant.
And that's kind of where we left off last time.
Right.
And we were kind of working our theme around the idea of life touching life, how the model of true discipleship in terms of people who are trying to make a difference in desperate scenarios have to do it with this concept of life touching life.
Yeah, and I would encourage people, if you're driving or if your mother at home just getting things ready for the day, to jot down this passage for further study because there is so much in here that we can only skim. But to get the principles that are in there, because the elements that we are going to cover, which we've covered the dead child, a desperate parent, and then we get into the servant mentality part of it now.
I want to hear about that because I think you had said that was a key to this whole concept.
As we ended the last broadcast, that this woman was now going to look for the man of God. Here's Gehazi and Elisha standing, and they see this Shunammite woman coming, and Elisha says, I believe, Gehazi, that is that Shunammite woman. Go find out what her problem is. What is the need? He could tell there was something that was wrong. Interestingly, Gehazi is sent and gives three questions in verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
How is it with you personally?
Mm-hmm.
Is it well with thy husband? How is it with you as a partner? Is it well with the child? How is it with you as a parent? Three key questions in life. Is it well in my parent role? Is it well in my children's role? Is it well in my personal life? Three key questions.
And those are the three primary relationships that we have, isn't it? My personal relationship to God, my relationship to my mate, which is is it well with your husband question,
yes.
And my relationship as a parent.
That covers the gamut, and then it goes from there to the outside relationship.
Sure.
But she said it is well, which is interesting.
Because it really wasn't well.
It wasn't well. But I believe there was some reason she was not willing to be honest with Gehazi.
Or she didn't want to try to get him to meet her need, in other words.
I don't think she trusted him. And people are not going to get honest with people I don't think they trust. I think this woman had spiritual discernment enough that there was something not right with Gehazi's heart.
And we find out later that she was...
We find out later what that was.
Yeah, okay.
And the text doesn't say that, but it certainly... pictures the
right.
fact that she didn't give him the time of day. She went
straight, she just blew right by him.
She blew by him and grabbed Elisha by the legs.
That's an image.
Pastor Horn, if you were preaching and at the end of the service, a woman came and grabbed you by the legs, you would, without even having any nuthetic counseling background, you'd say, needy woman.
And I'd say a lot more than needy woman.
But here's what happens. And look in verse 27. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came to thrust her away. And the man of God said unto her, listen to this phrase, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. And here this woman is so vexed. She had just told Gehazi, I'm okay. That's so typical of us coming into church in the lobby. Hey, how are you today? Tremendous. Truth of the matter is your heart's ready to break right out of your chest.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't know with whom we can be honest.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we should carry our medical records with us and somebody says, how are you today? Well, do you have 10 minutes? Show our latest x-rays and show.
There are people like that,
yeah,
trust me.
Right. But there does need to be a feeling where I can be honest,
yes,
with you.
Yes.
Or say, to be honest, my heart's heavy. Would you come and pray with me real quick?
So let me just park there for a second, because I really feel like this is big, because so many times, what's interesting to me is that Gehazi didn't even pick up that this woman had needs.
He was interested in the external mechanics. Here, this woman, desperate enough to grab it, she had to have seen this Shunammite often enough staying in the home there,
yeah,
that this woman was not a nut.
So how do you become a person like that? I mean, in the busyness of ministry and the busyness of life, how do you become, like if I'm a dad, how do I become an Elisha-like person to my son?
Or a Gehazi-type person.
Or how do I avoid being a Gehazi-type,
yes,
person?
And I think to become an Elisha type, we have to go back and pay the price that Elisha paid. You look back in Elisha's history, and he burned the bridges behind him when he surrendered everything to God.
Yeah.
And he totally abandoned to the will of God. I mean, if I were to describe Elisha in one word, it would be abandoned, abandonment, because he turned his back on everything.
And he just followed Elijah.
And followed the Lord. And then when Elijah was leaving, then the mantle fell on Elisha. But he had to come to go back, and Elisha said, what am I to do with you? Mm-hmm. And he goes back and burns everything and never looks back.
It's amazing the availability of this man. There's some people who have all the spiritual appearance, all like they know everything, but they're never available. They're unapproachable. And I know you've spoken at our church before, and I think that's one of the things our people have said repeatedly as they've talked to me about you, is your level of approachability. How do you maintain that in the midst of all of the busyness of your life? How do you stay approachable?
Well, I think it's focusing on people, not self. My goal in life is not to be alive for me. It's to be alive for God's glory and for others' good.
Mm-hmm.
Soteriologically, to be a blessing to others. Doxologically, to be alive for God's glory, mm-hmm, to give a right opinion of what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I realize that if I wake up and I'm not in hell, that's more than I deserve. I don't wake up with any expectation. I don't wake up assuming I have to be liked. If I went back with my speech background and if I went back and looked at all these things, I would still be in the woods in logging.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be out trying to make any public statements of any type. But there is a realization that has to come that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. We are not to be alive for our purpose and for what is good for us. We are to be alive for God's purpose and glory. And that means touching others. Now, I realize that I am a two-legged mound of dirt full of air. You know, I have to be available. And there are times when obviously you cannot be and your heart is getting prepared to preach and so on.
Yeah, I don't think it's a schedule thing. I think it's a spirit thing. I think people just have a sense that somebody's available because their heart is open to them. You know, there's an openness to them. There's a person comes and they actually feel like this person might actually be somebody I could talk to versus somebody who has all the time in the world and nobody ever shows up to talk to them.
Yeah, and I think the approachability, I mean, we should all be approachable. But what we found with Elisha here, we find that he was sensitive enough to realize this woman had a desperate,
yeah,
need. And when we sit in our church on Sunday morning, as we go and we see the cars coming in, we see the families all walking together, we presuppose everything is well in their lives. I wonder if we were to take a survey of everyone in an average morning service, how many would have to admit my soul is vexed within me? There is something that is troubling me. There is something that is causing my heart to be heavy. And we need to be sensitive to,
yeah,
that. Because if we assume because of all the external appearances that everything is okay, we may miss the fact that someone really is in vexation of soul.
You know, that's a rebuke to me as a pastor, because you do get so focused on the mechanics of a service. You get so focused on what's coming next that you forget, boy, there's some hurting people out there today. There's some hurting people out there today.
Well, we find the story going on where Elisha comes up with a plan. Verse 29, he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. I have often teasingly said that this was an old pastor years ago, an old pastor. Somebody said, how do you know he's a pastor? I said, when the problem came up, he said, it's a perfect job for my staff. And he said, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet him, man, salute him not. If any man salute thee, answer him not again, and lay the staff upon the face of the child. And so Gehazi passed on before them, and he laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. So we find here a defective servant. We've seen the dead child. We've seen the desperate parent. Now we see the defective servant. And the idea in my mind here, he took a dead stick, laid it on a dead head, carried by a spiritually dead servant, and the result was dead. Dead plus dead plus dead equals dead.
Spiritual mathematics, in other words.
Yeah, if all we're doing is laying a fact from a dead heart to a dead mode of presenting that truth to dead heads, then obviously the result is going to be dead. Why do we see such deadness? Maybe it's because we lack real life. The key was not the stick. The key was the bearer of that stick. And Elisha learned that, and so did Gehazi. When Elijah had that stick, and when Elisha had that stick, and the waters parted, and the miracles happened, well, when he gave the stick to Gehazi, all of a sudden they discovered the magic is not in the stick.
You know, let me park there for a minute, because I know we have one other servant you want to talk about, and we'll probably actually do a whole show on him. But my question is, this would seem to explain a lot of things to me. I mean, you're making me think about some connections. How many books do we have on parenting out there? And so here's a parent who picks up a new method and he tries it and it doesn't work. I mean, is that kind of like the stick?
Just taking a fact and laying it on the head. And again, I am drawing parallels here.
Right.
This is not what the text is saying,
right,
per
exactly.
se, but I'm drawing parallels that I think are very applicable, especially when we consider what Gehazi really was. We find out in the next chapter what Gehazi really was. And I think that we can take information, but we ourselves could be very stressed. We could be very strained. We could be maybe very unloving. And yet manifesting a deadness in our own spirits, trying to mechanically get the right result. Well, I do believe that we have to have our hearts on fire. God's truth is going to work. When that seed is planted, that is going to work.
Well, Doc, I hate to jump in on you here, but let me just say a word to our listeners. We're so thankful for the opportunity to minister to you. We are sincerely praying that God would use these programs to be a blessing to you. We'd love to hear from you. Doc, this has been a fascinating study on really what a defective servant is. And, you know, I've been convicted just hearing it in terms of information by itself isn't enough.